Good morning. This is Kevin Woolley, Minister of Music at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church. We'd like to welcome you to our morning worship services with Pastor Bruce Rudd.
So if you'd turn to John chapter 3, title of the message is that the world through him might be saved. That's literally right out of the scriptures. And I was thinking as I was preparing the message for today, our first Sunday back in the church, I wanted to make sure we exalted the Lord either through his name or through our salvation. And the Lord just kept for us. Good week prior to last week kept putting on my heart, you need to preach from John chapter 3 on our salvation and why it's important to reflect on it and to remember it. And we'll see that in just a second. Let's start in chapter 3, starting in verse 1 through verse 6, and then we'll go to verse 14 through 21. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Now watch how Jesus goes straight to the point in verse 3. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Now look at verse 14. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." By the way, read verse 16, putting yourself in the shoes of Nicodemus, hearing this verse we've grew up with for the very first time, literally talking to the Son that was sent. Now look at the verse again. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God." Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for salvation. And we pray that you just apply these verses to our hearts this morning. Draw us close to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, it's always good to remember things. I remember when Teresa and I got married. I think that was on our wedding day. She always thinks I'm going to forget, but I don't forget. It was on our wedding day. But 2 years into our marriage, things were good. I mean, we had our first house together. We had cows, and everything was going good. Caitlin was about a month old. We got married in 96, and Caitlin, I'm making sure I got this right. Caitlin was born May 27th. Yes, Caitlin would have been a month old in 1998. Well, I forgot our second-year wedding anniversary. And it's a beautiful June 15th day. And I get home from work, and Teresa says, "Is today special to you?" And I said, "Yeah, it's been a beautiful day." And she said, "Well, is there anything that's important to you today?" And I said, "I can't think of anything." I said, "Let me think. I can't think of nobody's birthday." I mean, she's just all but telling me what that day is, and I never got it. I never got it. Well, later on in the evening after we ate supper, she asked me again, "Do you not know what today is?" And I said, "Teresa, I cannot think. I've already thought of everybody in the family's birthdays, everything." Well, when she told me it was our anniversary, I just melted. I couldn't believe I forgot our anniversary.
Is that the night you slept on the couch?
Yes. And now you're supposed to let me do the preaching. Now, I want to get right into this because I want you to see, and the point that I'm trying to make is this. It's very important as Christians that we never get so far away in life that we get very far from a memory of our salvation and just how great that is. If you have Jesus in your heart today, you have a lot to rejoice about. I mean, you just have no earthly idea. I wish we could see our relationship to Jesus the way God sees our relationship to Jesus. I wish we could see all that he has planned for us for eternity. I wish we could see it right now. I mean, it would be so awesome. I wish you could see how active God is in your life right now and how he's guiding you and leading you and blessing you. And he directs us in all kinds of things. This morning, I got up really, really early and couldn't sleep very well, I guess, because I knew we had to be at church early. I didn't want to miss the first service. And but anyway, I was outside right at daylight, and I was reading the Bible, and a bird landed on the chair. I guess even the bird wondered what I was doing out there. But a bird landed on the chair by our patio table. I mean, literally, almost where I could touch it. And I got perfectly still. I wasn't moving at all because I wanted to watch it. I would never get to see a bird that close. And the Lord used that bird to remind me of his creation and how great he is. And did you know that when you were born again, that you became a new creation, that when the angels of God and when God looks at your life, he sees a new creation that even the angels take heart in, that they're in awe about your creation. Now watch this. Here's the things you got to remember. He wants us to remember his goodness in saving us. And the first thing is this. The miracle God offers is a new birth. The miracle God offers is a new birth. Look at verse 1. Says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Now, Nicodemus would have had the five books of Moses, the Pentateuch. That's Genesis through Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy. He'd have had that memorized or close to it because that was part of the law and a part of what they had to do to be rulers and rabbis. And he would have been very knowledgeable of the prophets, very knowledgeable of all kinds of things. And so he comes to Jesus by night, and we really don't know why he did. Perhaps he didn't want to be seen going to Jesus, or maybe it was just the only time he had to get to Jesus. But whatever it is, he knew he'd have quiet time just with Jesus, and there wouldn't be anybody else. And he comes to Jesus, and he says, Rabbi, in verse 2, we know that you are a teacher come from God, pays him a compliment, for no one can do these signs. Now, when you see the word signs in the book of John, those are miracles. In fact, John writes about seven. There's three sets of sevens in John, and this is one of the sign miracles. This is how God talks about his miracles, as sign miracles. So when you see the wedding at Cana, that's the first miracle. That was the first sign miracle, the healing of the nobleman's son, the healing of the man at the pool of Bethesda that had been paralyzed for 38 years. All of those miracles are sign miracles to show that Jesus is the Messiah. And so what Nicodemus is saying right here, and he doesn't even realize it, what he is saying is no man can do these signs unless God is with him. Nicodemus should have been saying, hey, you just might be the Messiah because you are doing the signs that come from God that we've been taught all these years. But Nicodemus still hadn't figured that out yet, but he just knows enough that God is at work in Jesus. Jesus knows the heart of man. So Jesus knew where Nicodemus' heart was. He knew what he was thinking. And Jesus immediately says in verse 3, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now this threw Nicodemus for a loop. Because Nicodemus thought, because I'm a Pharisee, I'm a ruler of the Jews, I'll see the kingdom of God. I mean, this is who I am. All of us Pharisees will see the kingdom of God. Well, see, what he didn't understand, there needed to be a new creation. There needed to be a new birth. And so Nicodemus questions that in verse 4. Jesus comes back in verse 5. He says, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, have you ever wondered what that means? Unless one is born of water and the Spirit. Now, this is not talking about you have to be baptized in water, physical H2O, to go to heaven. That's not what he's talking about. Remember, Jesus is talking to a Jew. And so to the Jews, if a Gentile was proselytized and a Gentile was to become a Jew or to, in effect, believe in the Jewish religion and Judaism, then the Gentile would have to be baptized and under the preaching of John the Baptist. If you remember, John the Baptist is saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He's saying, be baptized. And remember, all these people were coming to John the Baptist to be baptized. And so that water is a picture of a lot of things. It's a picture of being immersed into a belief system, being immersed into something. When a person is baptized in our baptistry behind me, it's the picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that I have been buried to my sins and raised to the newness of life. And so there's a new change took place. There's a new person in there. And that physical baptism is simply making what's known already in the heart known publicly to man in obedience to God. It's a confession. To be baptized is a confession that I've died to my sins, that Jesus lives in my heart, and now I'm living a new life. It's that simple. That's what it means. And so it also, the water that was in the laver. Water was a picture of cleansing, and it was a picture of the blood in some cases in the Old Testament. It was a picture of a renewed spirit. And so he's saying it's got to take faith. It's going to take repentance for you to come to me and be born again. You got to be willing to be humble as a Gentile. Now, can you imagine Nicodemus thinking on that? You're asking me to be as humble as a Gentile? I am Nicodemus. He's saying you got to enter the same way. You see, we all come to the cross the same way. And we have to reflect on that and be thankful for it, that God humbles our heart, and then we simply give our life to him just as we are, needing his mercy, asking for his forgiveness, and then he gives us eternal life. So first thing is there has to be a new birth. But then look at the second one. And the second one is where I'm going to concentrate just for a minute. Third one's pretty fast. The method God requires is what? A believing heart. A believing heart. Look at verse 7 and 8, and then we'll go to verse 14. He says, do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Now here's a verse that is oftentimes misunderstood, verse 8. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it. Now don't overthink that. That's pretty simple. When the wind blows, you can hear the sound of it. You ever been in the house and a storm comes up? And I mean, the wind all of a sudden starts blowing 90 miles an hour, and you can't see the wind, but you see everything that the wind is producing. You see the dirt that the wind's picking up. You see limbs. You might see your trampoline go into your neighbor's yard. I mean, you see all kinds of things happening because the wind is blowing. So you hear the sound of the wind. And so there's the wind. You don't know where it came from. You just know that the wind just showed up. You don't know where it originated. You just know it showed up. He said it blows where it wishes. And you hear the sound of it. You need to underline that if you mark your Bible. Underline, hear the sound of it, because this is a remarkable part of the verse that is overlooked. He's saying it was the hearing of that wind. Now that wind is the Holy Spirit in this verse. He says, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. And then he says, so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. He's saying, look, Nicodemus, you're not going to have to quote so many scriptures to be allowed into heaven. You're not going to have to do a whole bunch of extra work and get a grade. And if you make above a 95 or you make 100 or even 120, that we'll let you into heaven. It's not going to work that way, Nicodemus. It's going to be like the wind. The Holy Spirit's got to come and draw you. He's got to come and draw you to me and produce a conviction in your heart that you are a sinner and in need of the Lord. And then when you experience that, you're going to experience crises. You're going to have to come to believe in faith in Jesus Christ. And he's saying, and it's of the Spirit, capital S. Now, in Nicodemus's day, they knew that the Spirit came up on prophets and things like that, but they couldn't fathom a church age. They couldn't fathom the Holy Spirit coming up on people and producing conviction of sin, judgment, and righteousness. Just couldn't see it. So Nicodemus says, how can these things be? Then go look at verse 14. Now, I love the fact that Jesus, all of this happened for this purpose. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Now stop right there. So what is the method that God requires? It's a believing heart. He says whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life in verse 15. Says pretty much the same thing in verse 16. And so what happened with that serpent that was lifted up? If you go back to Numbers and look at that, in fact, I'm going to go back there because I want to show you something back there. It's worth seeing. If you remember, Israel has been wandering in the desert for 40 years. And they've just defeated some enemies. God allowed the enemies to come into their hands. And now they're going by way of the Red Sea. It may be a capital W right there in your Bible. Way of the Red Sea. It was a path. It was a worn path, a highway you could travel, so to speak, to go around Edom. And so they're going around Edom, and then the people get discouraged. Have you ever been discouraged? I mean, they get discouraged. They start wondering, does God really love us? They start wondering, God, are you really there? And they're not reflecting on their great deliverance. They're not reflecting on how God delivered them out of bondage in Egypt and has given them bread from heaven, water from a rock. The Bible says he didn't even allow, in these texts, in Numbers, he didn't allow their feet to swell, nor for their garment to wear out on them. That's pretty amazing. The cleaners would go broke back in that day. And so here they are, and they're forgetting God. They begin to complain. They complain against Moses. They complain against God. And the Bible says in chapter 21, verse 4 of Numbers, and the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. You see, we're in a pilgrimage too, on our way to heaven. It's easy for you and I to get discouraged on this pilgrimage. And when we get discouraged, we need to go back and remember what great things God has done, because he's still God. He is as much to God today as he was yesterday. His power and his glory and his love and his sovereignty has not been diminished, not one bit. It's still good. It's still the same. And so, you know what God does? Now, if you're discouraged, you certainly wouldn't have wanted this. You'd have probably even complained more. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned." So here they were, discouraged and complaining. Now the Lord sends a bunch of snakes after them. I'd have died. They wouldn't even have had to bite me. Lord, show me the pole before the snake even strikes me, because I'd have been dead. And these fiery serpents are striking them, and a lot of Israelites are dying. And they go to Moses and says, we're dying. We've been bitten. And they realize the reason that the serpents are here is because we complained against God and we complained against Moses. And they said, "Moses, go pray to God and ask God to do something, because we're dying and we can't avoid all these snakes and serpents." And so Moses is told by the Lord to mold a brass serpent. Now watch this. This is pretty incredible. Said, "Moses, you put that brass serpent on a pole." You know what kind of pole that was? It's called a banner staff. You know what a banner staff was? Is it was a tall pole. It could be a little pole or a big pole, but it was a tall pole, and it had a horizontal beam made on it, like a cross. And they would put a banner on the horizontal beam, and then they used it for all kinds of different things that they at winning a victory. The cross is our victory. Teresa just sang, "We've won." And so there was a victory. And so they took a pole like that, a banner staff. It's two words. And they mounted that brass snake on top of it. And the Lord said, "Moses, just tell the people to go and look at that brass serpent on the pole. And if they look, they'll live." Now I wonder how many of those Israelites thought that was too simple. I wonder how many of those Israelites thought that doesn't even make sense. I mean, that's kind of like the wind. Why in the world would we believe something like that? How many of them died? But then some thought, "What do I have to lose? I've been bitten by sin. It's my sin that caused me to be bitten. I'm a sinner and I deserve the judgment and the wrath of God. And I don't want to die. I want to live." I don't know of anybody here that wants to die eternally. Everybody wants to go to heaven and wants to live. And those that went up to the banner staff, shaped like a cross, saw the cursed snake up on top. When they looked at it, God gave them mercy, healed them, and they lived. Jesus said, that's how it works with me. But you know what? There's a second truth to this story, and I think it's very important, and it's what we're talking about, the importance of remembering your salvation. You know what's interesting? You go to Deuteronomy chapter 8, and you ought to write that down because it is worth the read. If you're worried and your heart's disturbed, mine is, by all the things that's going on in the world today, I want to encourage you to read chapter 8 of Deuteronomy, and even into chapter 9. But I want to read something to you starting in verse 11, and you're going to see the fiery serpent here in just a minute, because he's going to refer to the story in Numbers, same story Jesus referred to in Numbers. And he says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply. Now I want you to notice something. God is not against blessing. He led them into the land of Canaan to bless them, to give them a land where there was copper to dig up, to give them a land where there was milk and honey, to give them a land where they could have gold and silver. He wanted to bless them. The only thing is, he didn't want them to forget him in the process of the blessing. And so here they are in verse 13. He says, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied. See the blessing of God right there? When your heart is lifted up. He's saying, if you're not careful, all those things of the earth will lift up your heart. And when it lifts up your heart, you'll forget me. And he's saying, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you. Now watch this. You ought to circle this verse. That he might humble you, and that he might test you to do you good in the end. Do you see that? The Lord's saying, remember how you went in the wilderness? Remember how rough it was, but how God provided? Remember how God has now led you into the land of Canaan, and now God's doing all these things and blessing you, and you're having a fruitful life, a prosperous life. He's saying, you need to remember you were tested in that wilderness. And at the end of that testing, he did you good. He led you here. That was his desire. You see, when we're going through a testing, and we're going through a time where we get discouraged along the way, and we wonder, God, where are you at? God is still in control. He's not going anywhere. He's saying, I might be testing you, but I intend good in the end. That's the kind of God that we serve. Now, the last point I want to make is this, is think about what we have because of our salvation. The method is belief. The requirement is that we got to be born again. And then the results, number three, the results of salvation is everlasting life. You know, I've always loved Acts chapter 4, verse 12, where it says, there's no other name given among men, here it is, under heaven, by which we must be saved. You see, it's too late if we wait till after we die to try to figure out how to get saved. If we wait till after we die and we say, okay, God, I'm ready to get saved. He says, no, it's not in heaven. He says, it's under heaven. The name that was given by which we are saved is under heaven. It's right here on earth. God's Son, he says, God sent not his Son to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. And I tell you, that's God's desire today. That's the reason that you and I still exist today. That's why the earth still remains today. That's why we're still here today. It's because God's heartbeat is his mission. God's desire is that the world might be saved through him. And that's very important. And long as we keep that concept in our minds, it makes it a lot easier how we view the world. Because if you view the world through the news cycle, let me tell you something. You'll have to take some Rolaids and some, what's those things we used to see on TV? They drop them in water and they fizz. Plop, plop, fizz, fizzes. What are they? Alka-Seltzers. I couldn't remember. Drop some plop, plop, fizz, fizzes because you're going to need them. Because the news cycle does not see the earth through the eyes of God. The news cycle sees the earth through the eyes of men. And if we look at the earth through the same eyes that they're looking at the earth and interpret the earth the same way they interpret the earth, we're interpreting it the way of the world. But we don't interpret the earth that way. We interpret it the way that God sees the earth. And that just makes my day. I'm so glad that we have a Savior that is present with us. I'm out of time, but there's some things I wanted to share that we just won't get to hear today. Yeah, we can't get to it. But I just want to tell you that the Lord is faithful. Go back and remember, sometimes He's blessed us. We have the increase of the land. We have so much, we're fat, we're doing good. Don't take that wrong. Let's go ahead and stop. But don't forget God as you get fat. Don't forget God, because God will test us when we do. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your goodness. Lord, we thank You for salvation. God, we thank You for the new birth. We thank You, Lord, that we have been bitten by sin and that You allow us to look at the sin-cursed tree, Jesus Christ, who bore our sin in His body that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. And we have an advocate with the Father, the man, Christ Jesus. He stands in the gap for every single Christian in this room. Lord, encourage our heart. Lord, it's easy for us today in this pilgrimage on the way to glory, it's easy for us to get discouraged. But Lord, we need to be reminded, as You said in Deuteronomy chapter 8, that You intended good in the end. That even though they were being tested, You didn't let their feet swell. You didn't let their garments wear out. Even though they were being tested, You brought manna from heaven and You brought water from a rock. You were loving them, gently loving them, so that they would understand the importance of never forgetting You. We quit keeping Your commandments when we forget You. And Lord, we pray today that our heart would be in tune with Yours in obedience. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the worship service at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church and Pastor Bruce Rudd. If you've been blessed by this radio ministry, or if you've made a decision for Christ or are in need of prayer, we would love to hear from you at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas. Give us a call, 903-882-3890. Thank you and God bless.